Tensions remain high in many parts of the West Bank, despite the fact that Israel has declared an end to the three-week military operation dubbed Defensive Shield. Israeli forces continue to blockade West Bank cities, restricting movement in and out. And U.S. Envoy William Burns was unable to make any progress today toward a ceasefire in talks with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. NPR's Anne Gerrels reports from Jerusalem.
U.S. Envoy William Burns, the top State Department official on the Middle East, met with Yasser Arafat for an hour and a half in his besieged headquarters in the West Bank town of Ramallah. There was no movement on the key disputes holding up ceasefire talks. The standoff at Arafat's office, where Israel is demanding the surrender of six men, and the confrontation at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, where about 200 Palestinian gunmen have sought refuge from Israeli forces. A Palestinian spokesman said Mr. Arafat reaffirmed the need for a complete and unconditional Israeli withdrawal. Jibril Rajoub, Arafat's chief of security for the West Bank, accused Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon of trying to destroy the Palestinian Authority. His office is one of the many Palestinian ministries the Israeli forces ransacked during the three-week occupation of Ramallah. Rajoub accuses Israel of wantonly destroying government offices. He says Palestinians would not resume security coordination with Israel. This is a key element of a U.S.-backed plan to bring about a truce.
I don't think that it's possible for us, after this sea of blood, to start to talk about security coordination or any kind of bilateral relationship with the Israelis.
With Israeli forces now out at the center of Ramallah, Palestinians were able to settle scores among themselves. In this complicated web of revenge, hooded gunmen pulled three alleged Palestinian informers for Israel from cars and shot them in a downtown square. An approving crowd looked on. Witnesses said the three were accused of helping Israelis locate Marwan Barghouti, a popular local leader with Yasser Arafat's Fatah organization. Tensions have also been building between foreign journalists and Israeli forces. There have been several recent incidents in which Israeli troops have fired on journalists. Over the weekend, several Palestinians working for foreign news organizations were detained. Today, foreign journalists were blocked from entering Ramallah, and 17 reporters and cameramen who reached Bethlehem were suddenly stripped of their government-issued accreditations. The director of Israel's press office said the cards were taken because Bethlehem is a closed military area. Until today, reporters had regularly visited Bethlehem, where the three-week standoff at the Church of the Nativity compound grows steadily worse. Along with the 200 Palestinian gunmen, there are dozens of clergy and civilians, including young children. Those who have managed to flee describe terrible sanitary conditions and a severe lack of food. The mayor of Bethlehem, Hanan Nasser, says the people of his city are becoming increasingly frustrated by the continued Israeli military presence.
The situation is very tough. Everybody is suffering because of this third incursion. Imagine, we had three incursions by the Israeli troops in 6 months. But this incursion is the most bitter, most aggressive, most brutal incursion I have ever witnessed in my life.
Though Israeli forces have pulled out of some areas, all West Bank cities remain blockaded. Palestinians are unable to come and go. In Ramallah, the curfew has been lifted. People can now go out on the streets, but Palestinians remain locked inside the city. Rami Bathish, who works for the Palestinian Initiative for the Promotion of Global Dialogue and Democracy, cannot reach his mother in Ramallah, and she cannot see him.
I called my mother, and she said it's like being in prison and then being allowed to go for a walk outside the walls, but inside the fence. You know how they do with inmates, and that's how it felt to her.
The Israeli army says this policy is a defense against suicide bombers. The result is a psychological and economic stranglehold. Anne Gerrels, NPR News, Jerusalem.